This is WRAL News, your number one source for local news.
Talk about a frightening find. Today, several homes had to be evacuated in downtown Raleigh after someone found a hand grenade in a yard along Cabarrus Street. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Here's what we know about this. Investigators tell us the powder had been removed from the grenade and no one was ever in danger. Bomb squad experts were on the scene to remove the grenade before finding out that it was deactivated. Residents in three homes were evacuated as a precaution, including a neighbor who's 103 years old.
Have you ever experienced anything like this before?
Never. I've been here 18 years in this one house. I don't know what they did.
Glad that everyone is okay. Once again, officials say it was an actual grenade with the gunpowder removed and sold as a novelty item in a surplus store. It had likely been in the ground for years. Today, some good news in the fight against COVID-19. Yes, we all need that right now. North Carolina's daily numbers decreased across the board. The state reported more than 6,000 new cases in the last day. For the fourth day in a row, we learned of more than 100 deaths, with 109 reported in the last day. More than 3,300 people are being treated in hospitals for COVID-19. That's the lowest we've seen since late December. Let's take a look at the curves. Our average new cases hit the lowest point since January 1st at just over 6,300. Our average daily deaths hit 87. That number continues to climb, though. The average number of hospitalizations is 3,646. Vaccine rollout is expected to stretch into spring, even possibly the summer, for lower priority groups. But some people are questioning the order of the phases and also who's eligible in each group. WRAL's Laura Levine is live in Raleigh with a breakdown of where Wake County stands in the vaccination process. Laura.
Julian, well, the most popular question we hear today is, when am I going to get the vaccine? Well, DHHS has a pretty well layout of the phases on its website. You see the two active groups the county's currently in. But if you take a look down here, phase four, adults at high risk for exposure. The placement of this group is what one Raleigh woman tells me she's very concerned about.
As manufacturing and distribution speed up, the state has proceeded into different phases. And as we've seen, some counties are moving into different phases at different times, depending on the number of healthcare workers, older adults, prisoners, teachers, and other priority groups. Adults at high risk for exposure and increased risk of severe illness is in phase four, which means it can take several more months before this group receives the shot. Patty Reichmeier, whose son recently had a kidney transplant, fears for what could happen before his turn comes.
I just feel like that group is just too many things lumped into one tremendous group. And I wish that doctors maybe had a little flexibility to be able to prescribe the vaccine to the patients who really need it the most.
Now, Wake County officials have reiterated time and time again that it really all depends on the supply of the vaccine in regards to how fast the rollout goes. Coming up in our later newscast, we are working to hear from an expert who can better break down these phases for anyone who is concerned. Back to you, Julian.
People will want to hear from him later tonight. Thank you, Laura Levine, tonight in Raleigh. NC State has identified a COVID-19 cluster on campus. School leaders say several cases are connected to the business school on Centennial Campus. NCSU officials say everyone connected to the cluster is isolating or quarantining. We're working to learn more about how many cases may be involved and what steps the university is currently taking. A lot of businesses have not survived this pandemic. When a particular Raleigh business announced its doors would close for good, the response was significant. WRAL's Adam Owens takes us to the Maywood.
It is hard to see it this way. The lights are dark, the bar is empty, and it is quiet when it used to be so loud. Joseph Bursey plays guitar for the local heavy metal band Suppressive Fire. You could say his band was born here.
The Maywood's where we played our first show, and a lot of bands play their first show.
You know, it means a lot to a lot of different people.
Particularly the owner, Keith Fairweather. While it went by another name previously, for the last 8 years, this has been the Maywood.
I put everything into it. I built the club from the ground up.
Now he is forced to close it down. The sign out front offers Fairweather's explanation.
It was a struggle because, you know, every 3 weeks I was waiting to to be told I could open.
But COVID restrictions kept the doors closed, tough for Fairweather to take, as other businesses around him were allowed to operate again in some capacity. And Fairweather says he is not alone.
A lot of small businesses are going under.
And the artists who played here lost a home for their music.
For us, it was heavy metal central for Raleigh.
Fairweather feels it from both sides. He's the owner, but he's also a musician.
Music needs to go on, live music especially. So, you know, let's hope it does in the future. That's all I can say.
Adam Owens, WREL News, Raleigh.
We did find out there were fundraisers supported by the local music scene to try to save the Maywood. In the end, the expense of being closed for so long was just too much. It's been a chilly but dry weekend, and that may not last through the week. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth joins us now. And Amy, I'm looking at my notes, and it looks like rain is making a comeback.
It is. Last week was pretty boring as far as the weather goes. This week is the exact opposite. Very unsettled weather ahead. The first system that will impact us is right here. It's to our west right now. It arrives tomorrow morning and brings the potential for some pockets of heavy rain as we head into the second half of the morning and into the early afternoon hours. So here's an hour by hour look at tomorrow through the day. Expect rain basically at any point in time. Temperatures will stay in the 40s. So it's a chilly, rainy day on Monday. Let's map it out for you hour by hour with Futurecast. This is 6 a.m., a couple of spotty showers. The heavier rain will roll in around 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. It's with us through lunchtime. Some heavy rain possible in a few spots. Into the early afternoon, rain likely. And by the evening, showers are not as likely as this system pulls away from us. But we could still see a few spotty showers and some fog overnight tomorrow night and into Tuesday. We have a second system that will impact us later in the week. I'm watching this one for Thursday that could bring light snow, maybe a wintry mix. I'll show you the spots that could see a little bit of snow coming up in just a little bit.
Okay, people will have those cameras out once you give us that location for snow. Thank you, Amy. Mm-hmm. President Joe Biden starts his first full week in office, and he's already facing a challenge of getting more vaccinations to Americans and the next step toward the impeachment of President Donald Trump. Jennifer Johnson reports from Washington.
In a race against time and supply, thousands of people lined up at the Charlotte Motor Speedway to get their COVID-19 vaccines. Across the country, the shots are quickly running out. The Biden administration is hoping to administer 100 million vaccines in 100 days, which they call ambitious but doable.
We need more vaccine. We need more vaccinators. We need more vaccination sites.
The White House says President Biden Monday will bar travel from South Africa and reinstate travel bans for non-citizens who have gone to the UK, Ireland, Brazil, and much of Europe to stop the spread of new and possibly deadlier strains of the virus.
What we will do and are doing already is making preparations for the possibility that down the pike, down the line, we may need to modify and upgrade the vaccines.
Meanwhile, Democrat lawmakers are confident they can pass President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief package, despite Republican opposition.
We need the funding to get that vaccine distribution out there. We got to stop messing around and get our economy going again.
As the pandemic's death toll is expected to hit 500,000 next month, Congress also faces former President Trump's Senate impeachment trial. At least 17 Republicans are needed to convict him.
I believe that what is being alleged and what we saw, which is incitement to insurrection, is an impeachable offense. If not, what is?
House leaders will send the article of impeachment to the Senate Monday. The trial will start the week of February 8th. Jennifer Johnson, NBC News, Washington.
Durham has seen three separate shootings in less than 24 hours this weekend, one of them fatal. Today, police said a man was shot near Birmingham Avenue and Stadium Drive. Overnight, a man died in a shooting on Wake Robin Place. And last night, our breaking news tracker was on the scene of another shooting that left one person hurt on Holloway Street. We're still working to learn more about all of these investigations. A shooting in Harnett County ends with a person dead and another injured. Our breaking news tracker was there as well at the scene today on the 200 block of Connie Court, which is near the Anderson Creek area. Authorities tell us one person died at the scene. We are working to learn more about the condition of the victim taken to the hospital. The shooting is still under investigation. We have some very sad news to report today. A seventh grade social studies teacher in Wake County, we told you about earlier this month, has died. DJ Nichols, had been in and out of the hospital for over 6 years due to heart problems. His wife, Megan Nichols, says he recently had a heart and kidney transplants. A GoFundMe page was set up to help pay for all of his care. Nichols' sister-in-law told us he passed away on Friday. Hey, doctor, in the Triangle is encouraging African-Americans to get the COVID-19 vaccine. We will show you what he did today. Plus, a local company is creating a new digital tool to help people prove their COVID-19 vaccination status. We'll have the details of that coming up. Welcome back. The COVID-19 vaccine was one of the hot topics on Meet the Press today as Chuck Todd spoke with the White House chief of staff.
As everyone American has seen, the way in which people get vaccine is chaotic. It's very limited. We've seen this factor all over the country where millions of doses have been distributed. About half of that has been given out. So the process of getting that vaccine into arms, that's the hard process. That's where we're behind as a country. And that's where we're focused in the Biden administration on getting that ramped up.
Well, you can watch Meet the Press right here on WRAL each Sunday morning starting at 10. As coronavirus vaccinations continue, there is still concern about minority communities getting the shot. See, it relates back to a history of African Americans being used for experiments instead of being treated. Now, this is what else we're learning. Dr. Mask is showing why the vaccine is necessary for all races. We watch Dr. Alan Mask in action. In this video, he's in his car, his sleeve is up, and his camera phone is recording as he gets the COVID-19 vaccine.
Today, I wanted to practice what I preach. Julian, I literally get hundreds of calls from my patients having this exact same conversation we're having right now, talking about the risks and the benefits of the vaccine.
For 35 years, Dr. Mask has been treating patients. And in the mind of some of those clients right now is the Tuskegee experiment from the 1930s. That's when black men were used and abused for a syphilis experiment. And that is why Mass says he understands why some are reluctant to get the shot.
What we have to do is not be judgmental with people about that. I think we've got to approach them with honesty, with humility, and to try to provide access to the vaccine as well.
Mass believes that honesty starts with these images of him getting the shot. He stressed the benefit outweighs the risk. He also shared numbers that in the state of North Carolina, 80% of those showing up to get the shot are Caucasian, 10% are African-American. African-Americans also make up 22% of North Carolina's state population, but make up 37% of COVID-19 deaths. Dr. Mask believes the vaccination will save lives, and that is one of the reasons why he documented his shot.
Well, I think there are a number of people who are going to die. I mean, we're in a mayday situation right now, an emergency situation as regards the COVID-19 infections.
Dr. Mask is hopeful that as President Biden's administration pushes 100 million shots in 100 days, more minorities will sign up for the vaccine. A Wilmington-based company is rolling out its own digital vaccine passport. Castle Branch is now issuing real vaccination ID cards that can be used to verify a person's identity, COVID-19 vaccination status, and view their official vaccine documents. Currently, organizations, including the CDC, only issue paper forms as proof of the COVID-19 vaccination. We will see where that goes. Amy, we got a very cold start to the morning and to the day as well.
We did, Julian. Lows were in the teens and 20s this morning, so temperatures in the 40s and 50s feels pretty comfortable after what we woke up to earlier this morning. Temperatures will stay fairly steady overnight tonight in the upper 30s, so it will not be nearly as cold overnight tonight as it was this morning. That's all thanks to the clouds that are moving in and also more of a southerly flow. We'll stay dry throughout most of the overnight hours, but as we get into the early morning, we'll start to see some rain as our next disturbance moves through. So let's walk through the next couple of days. We're looking at the temperatures and the rainfall. This is 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. A couple of spotty showers, but temperatures are above freezing. The heavier rain moves in the second half of the morning. It's with us at lunchtime. Temperatures in the 40s. Really a miserable day tomorrow with on and off showers and temperatures staying in the 40s all day. A couple of spotty showers during the evening commute, but the heaviest rain will be done at that point. And then we get to Tuesday, which is interesting. Temperatures are going to range fairly fairly dramatically from north to south across the viewing area. A warm front lifts to the north. So this is 7 a.m. Tuesday morning. Look at Fayetteville, 60 degrees, 39 in Roxborough. So it's really going to just depend on how far north this warm front goes as to height your temperature is going to climb. By lunchtime, upper 60s possible to the south, mid 40s up to the north, low 50s in Raleigh, upper 40s in Durham. And then as we get to the evening, temperatures ranging from the 40s to upper 60s. So Tuesday, the temperatures are very interesting. A warm front will mean that temperatures are going to vary rather dramatically from north to south across the viewing area. Then we have to shift our focus onto this system that's just making its way across the western part of the country, and it will bring us the potential for some rain and maybe some wintry precipitation as we get into Thursday morning. In advance of this system, Wednesday afternoon, we could see a couple of spotty showers down in our southern counties. Most of us are dry Wednesday during the daylight hours, with the exception of our southern counties. And then by the evening, the rain moves in on Wednesday. It's with us overnight Wednesday into Thursday morning. Notice we'll pause the clock here at 3 a.m. We do have some wintry precipitation in the northern counties. And as this system pulls away from us, perhaps a little bit of snow in our northern counties. This is 9 a.m. on Thursday. It's one of those systems where the cold air is going to chase the moisture. And with those kind of systems, we just don't really have a big snow event. But let's take a look at a couple of the computer models that we often talk about. This is the European weather model showing the potential for some snow. It does show some light snow north and northeast of the triangle, but for everyone else, just rain. The American model, the GFS model, not as excited. It keeps most of the snow up to our north and also to our west. Lots can change because this system is just making its way into the United States, so keep tuning back in. This week is really a wild weather forecast. We have up and down temperatures. We have sunshine. We have rain. We have perhaps some wintry weather as well. Tomorrow, the bottom line, it's pretty miserable. Temperatures in the 40s with some rain. We'll have some spotty showers Tuesday. Temperatures will vary. You could be in the 40s. You could be in the 70s on Tuesday. It just depends on that warm front. I put us at 60 in the triangle. And then Thursday morning, some wintry precip possible. And then it's quieter Friday and Saturday, but more rain on Sunday. A lot going on in this 7 day, Julian.
This is quite a roller coaster, as you said, Amy. Thank you. Casey, let's talk about basketball, because sometimes we talk about football on Sundays, but there were some basketball games going on today
as well. There was, but we also talk a lot about the boys. You know, they say Saturdays are for the boys. Well, guess what? Sundays are for the girls, and we had some really good action on the ladies' hardwood. Plus,
I'm stepping away. I'm done. I've got it all out of my system.
A former fixture in the Carolina Panthers locker room and community calls it a career. I've got all that coming up next.
WRAL Sports starts now.
Yeah, it's definitely different seeing all the teams that are on pause right now due to COVID, but we're just taking it day by day and grateful for the games that we get to play and even practices.
Hey, good evening. That was NC State guard Reyna Perez back on January 3rd this year after she was asked what it's like with all the unknowns of playing games during this COVID time and seeing all the pauses. I got to think, famous last words, if you will, because that was the last game that the Wolfpack would play. Five games were canceled or postponed after that due to COVID, and they were finally back in action today for the first time in 3 weeks. So the Pack not out of the woods yet. We learned just before tip that they would be without their leader on offense, Alisa Kanane. She's pretty good on defense, too. And, boy, the Hokies take advantage of that. Starting out, they get out in front here early. But Wesley Moore's group starts to settle into their game late in the half. Around the perimeter they go, and Kayla Jones from downtown and the lead. Don't worry, we've got more from her in just a few moments. But just a minute later, Pack swinging it back the other way, and it's Kai Crutchfield, the corner pocket. Go ahead and count it. Pack up 47-41 at the break. But the Hokies back on top late, but there's Jones again. She knocks down her fourth, a triple of the day, and Pack survive 89-87. We're going to hear from the team coming up tonight at 11. Well, North Carolina ladies back at home for the first time in 10 days, hosting Notre Dame. Tar Heels just 2-5 in ACC play, looking to break a three-game losing streak. So what would Courtney Banghart draw up today? Well, it looked a little like give it to Stephanie Watts early and often. Second quarter, heels up 8. Kennedy Todd Williams dumps it off to Watts, who goes off the glass and in. Irish not sure what to think, leaving Watts all alone underneath the basket for the rebound, and she makes the pay, beats everyone up the court. Nifty dish off to Petra Holashinska.
That's check for three-pointer, because she had six on the day. That wasn't her biggest bucket, though, but it was the biggest lead of the game at 14. Notre Dame closed the half within four. Fourth quarter, though, Irish holding a five-point lead, but Watts on the pick behind the back in traffic, and she puts up a pair of her team-high 25 in the closing minutes. Heels down one, and Holashinska also getting it done inside. Drives the lane for two for 24 points, and heels a huge win, and their first of 2021, 78-73. Well, a 15-day layoff ended for East Carolina men's basketball. Pirates still without multiple players and their head coach due to COVID, but they were still hosting Memphis tonight. We've got those highlights for you coming up tonight at 11.
Proud of what I was able to accomplish, proud of the relationships, everything that the game has given me. But sometimes when it's time, it's time. And my time in the NFL now has come to an end.
Well, after 14 seasons in the NFL, former Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen is hanging them up. The announcement came during the NFL pregame show over on our Fox 50 earlier today. Olsen will join the network full time in his post-playing career. Olsen was originally drafted by Chicago in 2007 before being traded to the Panthers in 2011, where, of course, he went on to play nine seasons in Charlotte. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. Olsen posted three 1,000-yard seasons from 2014 to 2016 and was a key member of that Carolina team that reached the Super Bowl in the 2015 season. Overall, he ends his career with 742 receptions, 8,683 yards, and 60 touchdowns, placing him among the most productive tight ends in NFL history. Well, we'll see Olsen in the booth next season, but today over on Fox 50, it was the A-team and Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for the NFC Championship game. This one has just gone final, and just as we expected, between two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, we had ourselves a game. I was in here, but I know there was some sort of a questionable penalty, Julian, flag thrown. I'm not going to question it, though, at all, because Tampa Bay and Tom Brady is heading to the Super Bowl, in which they are going to host, by the way.
You can never go against Tom Brady, can you?
Never.
Thanks, Casey. And thank you for joining us tonight. Be sure to tune into our next newscast on Fox 50 starting at 10. And we'll be right here on WREL at 11. Have a great night.